In Romans chapter 1, we are looking in these days, last week we began, and we're going to be looking through the next couple of weeks, at the basis of our confident faith, that God has spoken to us. God has revealed Himself. God has made Himself clear. There are those who will say, well, if God is there, why hasn't He said anything? Well, He has said a lot. And we have clear evidence of God's presence and God's existence in our world. I want you to see this morning, we're going to look at the most basic, the one where God started to reveal Himself and spoke first and has spoke the longest and has spoke the most clear, well, maybe not the most clearly, the most clearly is in Christ, but the most basic and simple expression of God is God speaking through creation, the evidence for God in the created world, in the universe. Have you ever wondered, I thought of this the other day, as Lynn and I were walking in one of our local parks, and we heard a bunch of honking going on, and we knew it was geese, and part of me often wonders, what exactly are they saying? And at the sound and tone of these honks, now I'm no animal psychologist, but I'm really not sure I wanted to hear what they were saying at that particular moment. Some of you have pets, and maybe you've heard your dog bark or yelp or say something, and you've wondered, I wonder what they're thinking. I wonder what they're saying. Again, I'm pretty sure you may not exactly want to know what they are thinking or saying, but we hear them speaking. Do you know that creation itself is speaking? We may not hear it with our ears, but it is speaking to us continuously, and it's not merely, as we'll see in a moment, it's not merely creation that is speaking. It is God who is speaking to us through creation. As over the next 3 weeks we look at God speaking, I want to remind you that there are several ways that people respond. It does not change the fact that God is speaking, but how people hear. In John, I believe it's John chapter 12, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and there is a voice from heaven that speaks. And the Bible tells us it was God the Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." But there were those who heard the sound, and some said, well, it was an angel. There are those, when they hear God speaking, whether it is through His Word or particularly in creation, they will say, there's something unusual. This just did not happen. But they're not willing to acknowledge that it was God. There's something supernatural. There's some being out there. There's some means that we can't explain. Maybe it was multiple universes, or maybe common in our day. Maybe it was aliens that caused it all to happen. But there's some unexplained event that caused creation to be, but we just can't fully understand it. So they said that voice, they heard a voice. They didn't understand what it said, but they said it was an angel. There were others that heard the voice, and they said it thundered. They had a natural explanation for God speaking. And there are those who will walk out into creation, and they will see the beauty. They will see the same complexity. They will see the same evidence that we see of God, and they'll say, well, there's a natural explanation for that. Tell them that a miracle took place in the Bible, and they'll say, well, there was a natural explanation for that. Tell them that God has spoken. Well, there's a natural explanation for all these things. They hear and see the same evidence, but they are not willing to acknowledge the existence of God. There are those that will look at what we see in these verses, and that is that God is speaking through creation, and they will see and hear, but they don't hear what God is saying to them. I want you to look at several things this morning in these verses, and I'm going to move quickly through these, but there's four basic things that these verses tell us about God speaking through creation. First of all, I want you to see the scope of God's speaking in creation. Who does He speak to? I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Who has God spoken to? These verses tell us that God has spoken through creation to all. There is no one that around this world that has ever lived that has not in some form experienced creation and the work of this universe. They see the heavens. They experience feel and touch and sight and the various senses. Even those who are limited in their senses have still experienced to some measure. They have experienced this world in which we live. A parallel passage is the one that Pastor Chuck read at the beginning of the service, Psalm chapter 19. And it tells us that God's speech, first of all, is not limited by religious background or experience. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." This passage says, He does this through the things that are made. The things of creation, the things of nature are God's voice. And it does not matter whether you are Jew or Gentile in this passage. It doesn't matter whether you have read the Bible or whether you have never heard of a Bible, whether you have rejected the gospel or never heard of Jesus Christ. All hear God speaking through creation. Every person has experienced this. They're not limited by time. He says that they see this how? From creation. This is not just seeing it from creation, but from the moment of creation. God has been speaking ever since creation was in existence. God has been speaking, and every person who has lived since that time, it does not matter if they lived in the dispensation of the law or the dispensation of grace that we live in, it doesn't make any difference. They have heard God speaking. All have heard from creation. Psalm 19:2 says, "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge." It's speaking. God, day and night, ever since the beginning of creation, God has been speaking. There's no language barrier. It doesn't matter whether you could speak the languages that the Bible was given in or not. The Bible was given to us in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, some Aramaic, and then in the New Testament in Greek. And it has to be translated, and it continues to need to be translated. Thank God for the missionaries and the workers who are taking that task to translate it into languages that have never had the Bible. But apart from that, whether they've ever read the Bible in their own language, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The beauty of creation and the work of creation is a universal language that God has spoken. And it does not matter whether they are literate or illiterate. It does not matter whether they speak Swahili or English or Southern American English like many of us speak. God has spoken in their language. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. And then there's no boundary of location. There's no limit to location. Here he says, there in Psalm 19:4, he says, "Their line has gone out through all the earth." He's speaking primarily in Psalm 19 of the beauty of the heavens, the stars, the constellations, and all the majesty of the heaven. But the work of creation goes throughout the world. He says, "Their words go to the end of the earth." The words that creation speaks goes around this planet. So there is no person who has ever been born on this planet who has not had the revelation of God speaking to them through creation. And this is why, listen to me carefully on this, this is why he says in verse 20 that they are without excuse. He says in verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Against how much? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This means that every person is without excuse. Why? Because he says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is the truth that they hold? The existence and the power and the authority of God. We read that further down. His eternal power and Godhead. That God exists, that God is all-powerful, and that God is the authority in our lives. And what do? Whether we have heard about Jesus or not, mankind immediately begins to rebel against that knowledge of God, and they hold that truth in unrighteousness. They may acknowledge God's existence, but they do not submit to God's authority. And that is why when he says all have sinned, it means that all of us have broken this most basic knowledge of God, and we hold this most basic truth in unrighteousness. That is why a person who has never heard the gospel will go to hell. That's why a person who has never read the Bible will go to hell. People don't go to hell because they reject Jesus. I know we say that often, but listen to me carefully. There are those who have never rejected Jesus who will be in hell. There are many from the Old Testament that never heard the Scriptures, and they will be in hell. That's why he says they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Why? Because they may not have had enough knowledge to convert them, but they had enough knowledge to condemn them. They rejected and lived in unrighteousness in the knowledge that they did have, that every person, everywhere, in all places, and in all times, and in all languages, has enough knowledge. And what do? We immediately go forth from our mother's womb, the psalmist says, speaking lies. We go forth rebelling against the existence and the authority of God. And that's not a pleasant truth. The real question is, why are those still, that in our day, have not heard the gospel? It's our job to take the gospel to them. But you see, the whole world stands guilty, the Bible says, before God. You say, Pastor, I don't think I like that. Look, it's a hard truth, but it's what the Word of God says clearly. We are all worthy, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just those who have heard the message fall short of the glory of God, all have sinned. And so the message is for all. The scope of God speaking is to every person. But notice what he also says here. Notice the simplicity of God's speaking. He says two words that I want to draw your attention to. One is in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. That word manifest means it's made plain. Look, this is not a complex message that God is speaking. God is giving the most basic truth, His existence, His power, His authority. He's not getting into the details of the Trinity. He's not getting into the hypostatic union. He's not getting into all these complex theological truths that humans love to debate. He's simply expressing, here is the simple truth. I exist. And then he says in verse 20, the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God makes them plain. Why? Because it's the simple, most basic truth. Dr. Dan Truax was a missionary in Africa for several decades. Because of health reasons, he had to return to the States, and he still spent the rest of his life serving, recruiting and training missionaries to go back to Africa and serve there. But he asked many of the desert tribes that he worked with, he said, how do you know there's a God? You see, even though they had not heard the gospel, they knew that there was a God and believed that there was a God. And they said some things like this. They said, someone makes the sun behave. What they were saying was, the sun never rises in the west, it always rises in the east. What did they see? They saw in something as simple as a sunrise evidence that there was someone who makes the sun behave. We have a planting season and then a harvest season, they said. The seasons come in order. There is order and structure to our existence. They knew that there had to be someone that was behind that. And then the stars, they said, guide us through the desert. Out in a million miles of sand, one said, we can guide our caravan to a pinpoint of water by lining up the stars. Whoever placed those stars must be God. You see the simplicity of it? Something that anyone can experience, anyone that can see the stars of the heavens and learn that their stars are placed there. And they can see and even feel that the sun rises in the same place, and they know that their seasons are one after the other. What is that? That is the simple nature of God's speech. He manifests it. He makes it clearly seen. So if we take these first two truths, it is that God speaks simply and clearly to every single person. God has spoken. God has made Himself manifest. So when someone comes and says, if God is there, why hasn't He said anything? I want to say that they're just simply not listening, because God has spoken very clearly. A desert man was once asked how he knew that there was a God. And he said, how do I know if it's a man or a camel that passed my tent in the night? I look at the footprints. That's where we look and we see the footprints of God. What are some of the fingerprints of God? What are some of His works in creation? Well, that's the next thing that Paul tells us about, and that is the substance of God's speech. What is God saying? He says it's His eternal power and Godhead. We could look at a number of things from creation that God, that reveal to us that God has spoken and that God exists. The very existence of the universe tells us that there is a being that is very, very closely resembles the God of the Bible. It's a very simple logic or syllogism. Whatever has a beginning has a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe has a cause. Now, if you think about that, that's not really complicated. Whatever has a beginning has a cause. If you go to the doctor and the doctor finds a lump, something caused it to be there. If you go into your kid's room and find a hole in the wall, something caused it to be there. No matter how much a child protests, spontaneous things just don't happen. My parents just, for some reason, could not believe in spontaneous combustion or any kind of spontaneous activity. No matter how many excuses I used, if you see a dent in your bumper, you know something put it there. We live in a world of causation. If something happens, if there's something there, something caused it. Anything that has a beginning has a cause. The universe has a beginning. It's, first of all, it's just simply logical that there has to be something that started it all. The only other option is that the universe is eternal or that it came into existence out of nothing. I mean, even the kids in Sound of Music understood that nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. If you remember the old song. We understand that if something comes into existence, then it has to be. This fits with the Scriptures. This fits with Psalm 19. This fits with Romans chapter 1, that there is a cause, there is a being. There cannot, to put it in too many words and put it into too complex of words, there cannot be an infinite regress of uncaused causes. Well, that's why people say, well, the aliens caused it. Well, who created the aliens? Well, other aliens. Well, where did those aliens come from? Let me tell you, some of y'all are sitting there scratching your head saying this is crazy. There are those who will go so far as to deny the existence of God that they will find any kind of explanation they can for where things came from. There's no other place in this world that we would look at something and say, there it is, and it just came into existence. There has to be an eternal, knowledgeable understanding. One writer put it this way, that something that created the universe would have to be big enough, smart enough, powerful enough, and old enough, not to mention creative enough, to be able to pull off such a creation. It sounds very similar to the divine being that's described in the book of Genesis when he said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the very existence of the universe, we could talk about the design of the universe, the beauty of the universe. We could talk about the creativity, so many things about the work of God that are clear. Even science recognizes that there had to be a beginning. Robert Jastrow, who was an astronomer with NASA's Goddard Institute, said this. He said there's five independent lines of evidence, and he lists those out, and he says they all point to one conclusion, all indicate that the universe had a beginning. The design of the universe, if you were walking and you saw a watch laying on the ground, you wouldn't just say, oh, that clearly just happened to be there. That just came into existence. You would look at it, and not only its existence, but the fact that it is designed, and it's complex, and it's intricate, and it accomplishes a purpose, you would say it's there for a purpose. There are too many things in this universe, in this creation, that are designed to function exactly as they function, that it could not have happened by accident. The human body is complex. The way that it functions, all of our systems function together. You could go all the way from the largest from the universe and how all the systems work together, all the way down to the subatomic level and see the complexity and the design with which God has designed this world. The fine-tuning of the universe. The fine-tuning is the fact that we could live here on this planet where it is. And life could be sustained. Slightly farther away from the sun and we freeze. Slightly closer to the sun and we burn up. God placed it exactly. Our world is exactly where life can be sustained and where it can develop and live. Someone has done math on this. And I'm going to be honest, when I start hearing numbers, I start hearing Charlie Brown's Teacher. Y'all remember, wah, 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 wah. So when I read this, if you start hearing Charlie Brown's Teacher, just please nod and smile and just go along with this. But I want to give you a sense of how low the probability is that our world could be where it is and how it is to sustain life by chance, by accident. British mathematician Roger Penrose calculated, based on only one of the hundreds of parameters within the physical universe, that the probability of a life-giving planet coming into being by accident, listen to this, was 1 divided by 10 raised to the power of 10. Sorry, I'm starting to hear my own voice in it. And again raised to the power of 123. This number is as close to zero as anyone has ever imagined. In other words, it is a very, very, almost non-existent probability that this world would be able to sustain life by accident. And yet some people choose. Look, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that all this happened by chance than it does to believe that there's a God who created it all. To put this into framework for some of y'all, and I know none of y'all do this because y'all are all godly Christians, but when I say this phrase, some of y'all are going to, oh, God's eyes are going to light up. The probability of that taking place is smaller than the chance of winning the Mega Millions jackpot for more days than the universe has been in existence. Not just once, but for more days than the universe has been in existence. Some of y'all are being, Mega Millions jackpot, what is that? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a very, very, almost non-existent chance that this world could sustain life. And that's just one of hundreds of parameters that have to be in place for it to take place. We could talk about the information that's encoded in DNA, the text of DNA when the human DNA was mapped, 3 billion letters long, written in a 4-letter code. You know, when cryptographers start seeing patterns, they don't say, oh, this is a jumble of letters. They start saying, somebody's trying to, there's a code here. When we see a code in these letters of DNA, and this is just from one human cell. He said, the scientist that did the reading of that said, a live reading of that code at a rate of 3 letters per second would take 31 years, even if you were reading day and night. That's the complexity of that. Printing the letters out and putting them on paper in normal font size, binding it together would be a tower taller than the Washington Monument. And that's in one, that's the information that is encoded in one human cell. I don't know about y'all, but my cells are getting more and more every day, so there's probably a whole lot encoded. I've got more cells now than I've ever had before, I believe. What am I saying? I'm saying that our bodies, our creation, our world, God has left more than adequate evidence that He's the one that created it. We could talk about our sense of morality. We could talk about beauty. We could talk about many other things. And all of this together simply points us to what the Bible says about it to start with. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. Every house is built by someone. If you see a house, you don't think it happened by accident. Somebody built that house. But he that built all things is God. He that built all things is God. Boy, that's the simple truth. That's the simple statement. And God, as he built and designed and created all things, he has left his fingerprints all over this universe. And that's what I want you to see the last phrase in Romans chapter 1. Are you still with me in Romans 1? The source of this speech. This is not just nature randomly speaking. This is God speaking. Look in verse 19. God has showed it to them. This is not creation speaking. It is the Creator speaking to the created through the creation. Now, I want you to get your mind around that this morning. Listen to me carefully. This is God taking the initiative to speak directly to you. The God who created all that is. And we can't even begin to get our mind around this universe. We send out probes and they take pictures and they do research, and just about the time we think they've found the edge of the universe, they realize the universe is bigger than we ever imagined. The God who created all of that did so in a way that he was talking to you, wanting you to know him. That amazes me. God speaking to us. And notice the phrase that he uses there, being understood, verse 20, by the things that are made. That phrase is one root word, it's one Greek word, poema, and it's where we get our word poem. This is God not just randomly and wildly speaking to us in creation. This is God giving a very personal, clear, creative message. If I'm walking along the sand of the shore down at the ocean, maybe the wind's blowing and I look and the sand may, I might see the sand blown into forming a letter, maybe an L. And I would think, well, maybe the wind did that. But if I walk on a little further and I find in the sand an entire poem written, I don't think maybe the wind did that. I know that someone did that, and someone with a creative mind who desires to speak and communicate a message to the person who reads it. In the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It is God speaking to us, conveying a message, and the purpose is not just to merely make us aware of His existence. You can believe in the existence of God and miss heaven. His purpose is for us to be drawn into a relationship with Him, and He has spoken further through His Word and through His Son, and He is calling us today to have a personal relationship with Him. The God that spoke all this universe into existence cares enough to speak to you personally. Why? Because He loves us. The things that are made. It's only used one other place in the New Testament, and that's where it says we are His workmanship created in Christ. We are a purposeful workmanship. The universe and everything in it is a poem from God and about God. God is not absent. God is present, and God is speaking. What does this tell me? This tells me that my faith is founded in God's expression of Himself. My faith is founded in the person of Jesus Christ. It is founded in the Word of God, and it is founded in the God who spoke things into existence. Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But he says, he that comes to God must first believe that He is. Maybe this morning you're struggling with this, the whole concept of God. I want you to know that God has left His fingerprints all around us. He has not only left fingerprints, He has written messages to us. I am here. And the God who created this universe is the God who has chosen to further reveal Himself through His Word, the Bible. We'll talk about that next week. And He loves you, and He cares enough that He further revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to pay for your sins so that you could be saved from those sins and brought into a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And God is speaking to you this morning, and He is saying, I want to know you. I want to redeem you. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? That seems so obscure. That seems so big. It is, but it is so simple. It is as simple as just simply receiving the message of the gospel. I am a sinner and cannot save myself. I don't deserve to be in a relationship with God. I've been separated by my sins. But Jesus Christ died to pay for those sins, to restore me to God. He died and He rose again from the grave on the third day. And I want to confess Him as my Lord and my Savior. You say, I believe in God. The devils also believe. James chapter 4. The devils, James chapter 3. The devils also believe. And they tremble, but they are not redeemed. It's believing. Must believe that He is. and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you received His message of the gospel? If you have, let me say this to you this morning. This truth ought to, these truths, God speaking to us, ought to do a number of things, but I want to mention two. One, it ought to move us to worship. The greatness of God ought to move us to worship. We often sing the old hymn that's so popular, How Great Thou Art, and I love that verse that talks about, when through the woods and forest glades I wander. What does it move him to do? What did it move the songwriter to do? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. It ought to amaze us when we see the complexity and we see the beauty and we see the design and we see the greatness and we see the continuity and we see the morality and we see all these evidences of God. It ought to put us on our knees before God saying, oh God, how great Thou art. Then it also ought to remind us in the midst of our storms, we've got a God who created all this, and if He can create all this, there is nothing too hard for our God. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I want you to understand the God who created the universe, our problems, our storms, our issues, they are nothing for Him. There is nothing too hard for God. So maybe this morning, hearing these truths about God needs to just cause you to just kneel on your knees before God. Come down to this altar, kneel or stand. And just say, God, I'm trusting You because I know how great You are. God is speaking. God has spoken through His creation. He has spoken simply. He has spoken clearly. And He has spoken to you. Are you listening? Father, speak to us in this moment. Lord, I pray for anyone that is here that has never trusted You as their Savior. Lord, they may not understand fully or completely. They may have questions, but Father, I pray they'll step out in this invitation. Just step down here to the front to one of our pastors. Lord, let us take the Scriptures and help them understand how they can know the God of creation, the God of the universe, that they can know Jesus Christ, His Son, as their Savior. Father, I pray for Christians that, Lord, will be moved to worship, to think of how great You are. And Lord, I pray that there's struggles and burdens in our hearts. We'll lay those burdens at Your feet, knowing that You are God. If You can speak this world into existence, You can certainly speak peace to us. I pray that You'll speak peace.